Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Nothing like the smell of a sweaty tech crew making their way in a jam-packed car heading to a convention. That's right, folks. This is the show before we hit Mid-South Paranormal Convention. So, as usual, I'm Gorgon, and sitting next to me is your tech guy, Yed. What's up?
How's it going, Gorgon?
I am awesome. Were we off mic the whole time? Did they hear me talk about the commercials?
No.
Okay. I was sitting there going, I'm just rambling. I don't know. They're probably hearing me talk about all sorts of things, my, you know, craziness.
No, I had the mics off. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yed's on it. I just blab on. Yed's on it. At least somebody's on something on this thing. But, oh, my God. Yes. Like I said, it's the show before Mid-South, folks. And you know what that means. It's going to be a weekend of craziness. It's going to be a weekend full of foolish behavior. It's going to be a weekend of beheadings and zombie sex and all sorts of crazy things. No, I don't know. That happens on a regular basis at the GG Studios. But guys, my God, this week has been nuts because, you know, we've got a lot of stuff in the works, a lot of things going on. But man, this whole week, I don't know. It's kind of like I had this feeling like this show should just be sort of casual. Because you know what next week starts on our shows?
What is next week start?
Yeah, it's like, am I here next week? What's happening? Yeah, doesn't know where he is right now. Next week, guys, is the first of our 5 shows of the Halloween Extravaganza! And I had to add my own echo effect, you see?
Of course.
This is how cheap our producers are. They can't even afford us a button.
Yeah, they don't buy a deck machine.
No. We don't get echo machines. We have to create our own echo.
Hello.
We have to make our own crap up. I almost said that word. Woo. Can I get away with that?
Yeah.
We're not FCC regulated yet, are we?
No, and even if you were, I don't think yet we're considered.
Oh, good. It's not on the Carlin's top 10 list of things you can't say.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Good times. So how are you doing this week, Yed? Last week you were coughing up a lung. I thought you were going to die on me.
I'm still coming off the plague.
Oh, see. So, you know what, guys? This is how devoted Techie Ed is. If you remember, stretch your brains back, folks, because, you know, our show's all blurred together, just a bunch of rambling anyway. The week before last week's show, we talked about tuberculosis at Waverly Hills. So, in solidarity, in showing of his loyalty to the show, he went and caught tuberculosis.
I did.
So, he has the white plague. And pretty much, you know, he battled that all last week. You know, while we were interviewing Stephen Wojnak, he was coughing up a lung.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So it was kind of interesting. I was like, oh, my God, he caught the plague before the show. So, I don't know. It was a little treat for you guys. Techie had to do that just for you guys. But, oh, my God, it's been insane. What was it? You said the Emmys were on tonight?
That's what I, from what I understand.
Oh, God.
I was going to make fun of them.
Who cares? You know what? I'm pretty much done with award shows. I watched them when I was like 10, and I was like, award shows, Oscars, Golden Globes. But man, when you start getting into business, you start getting into it, you start meeting the people, you realize it's just a bunch of BS. It's a bunch of politics. Who cares? Half the films that win anyway were because somebody blew somebody backstage. So I don't know. And there's, you know, first of all, for a company that's supposed to be all about film, worshiping film, praising film. You know, basically, I mean, when they started, they were supposed to be a catalyst to keep, you know, society on the track of you know, entertainment, to get movies, to pave a new way for movies in our modern culture. They disappoint me greatly because, you know, they're supposed to respect all aspects. And the Academy just, man, they look their noses down at horror movies, man. And I'm talking like, I'm not saying that they have to, you know, go ahead and credit, like, I don't know, Slaughterhouse, you know, some sort of Slaughterhouse thing or something like that. But, or like Pig Massacre, number 65. No, they don't have to worship that. But I'm saying, like, man, how many times have they passed over Alfred Hitchcock? They passed that man over more times than I could say boo, and I swear to God, I mean, he was never even nominated. And Psycho is one of the most gripping psychological films ever made. I mean, the way it was shot was phenomenal. I mean, I'm not going to get into a whole Psycho debate because God knows that's a whole show in itself. I mean, I absolutely worshipped Hitchcock. You know, I used to study him back in the day, studied all his, you know, cryptic ramblings, I guess, which could produce my cryptic ramblings. But, seriously, Psycho was one of the most well-made, well-shot, well-acted, well-directed, just all-around great films. And that's why it earned the nickname, you know, the granddaddy of all horror films. I mean, it really is. It was an experiment. Not a lot of people know that. It was an experiment in film because it was shot with a TV crew sort of in a TV format, which was definitely unusual for movies at the time. So, I mean, it was definitely an experiment all around for Hitchcock. And, I mean, he pushed it to limits. He did what he could. And it's one of the best movies ever made. And, of course, everybody knows that Psycho is the first movie to feature a toilet flushing. Because back in the day, you know, it was impolite, it was rude, it was not known in society to show a toilet. That was taboo, so to speak. So, you know, there's other movies that have shown toilets. There's a few before Psycho, but none of them showed a toilet working. So I guess it's one of Hitchcock's many. I mean, the man has so many achievements. He's a genius. I mean, completely the man, like, owns, you know, films, but he one of his many achievements. He showed us how the toilet worked.
That's a big achievement right there.
So thank you, Alfred. I mean, today we're still learning from this man. I swear to God. There's sometimes I go, what is this crazy flushing thing? What? But, you know, it's hard when you're trying to shove the body parts down the toilet. They just don't fit like they used to.
Yeah.
I think they make the hole smaller or something. The pipes have to be smaller.
It's bloody low flow, man.
It's horrible. I mean, you can't dispose of corpses anymore. They make it so difficult these days. You can't even have any fun anymore. Not like the good old days. But, oh, my God, speaking of murdering people and stuff, this kind of popped up. No, I don't have any. I had a couple of people this week mention that they love the fact that we bring up something in history or pinpoint a day, tell you what went on that day. So, no, I'm not going to give you any of that because, guys, this week's show is different. We are preparing to go to Mid-South. This is the kickstart. I mean, well, actually, next week is the kickstart. This is the sort of last chance that you guys have to take a breather. This is the last chance you guys have to rest before we onslaught you with the freaking craziness we have coming on the next 5 shows. I mean, next week we are kickstarting it hardcore. So, guys, I'm trying to give you a chance to calm down. I'm trying to give you a chance to catch your breath, to get ready for insanity. I think they think I'm joking. Seriously, you guys don't even know the stuff we got going on. Insane. We're going to make your head spin. It is our job to entertain you, to inform you, to keep you apprised of things, and, yeah, to make your head spin just as good as when the Blairs did. So, you know, we got insanity. But, yeah, you know, this week's show, I didn't want to clog you with too much stuff. Just kind of wanted, you know, a nice little breather, a nice little chat with friends before we start our massacre, you know, before we start this. Oh, my God, guys, I'm freaking excited about October, man. I'm so freaking excited. I can't even hold it in. It's coming out. It's coming out right now. And there it went. You know what I mean? It just came out. We need a mop and bucket. Aisle 2. Thanks. man, I don't even think the producers could afford that.
No, I've not seen a mop, a vacuum.
How do they clean this place?
But somehow we have flowers.
We have flowers. That's right, guys. We walked in the studios today, and, and there's a vase of flowers by all our equipment. And Zacchaeus goes, flowers? Where did these come from? I'm like, just let go. Just let go. They can't afford an echo button, but they can afford flowers.
Yeah,
I don't get it. How does this add to the show? Is this supposed to, like, I think this is an employee trick. You know how these employers, like, if we add a window, we have less turnover rate, blah, blah. I think this is a trick to, like, keep us from going to the union or something like that. Well, I guess it's okay. They gave us flowers, so we'll put on a better show. Yeah, whatever.
Or to keep us from coming in with guns and start shooting.
Well, I mean, it doesn't stop us anyway. We usually come in, and we try to get back there, guys. You don't even realize, you know, when you're in these radio studios, you don't realize what that glass is made out of. My God, it's unbreakable. It's impenetrable. I mean, I don't know how many times I've attacked it trying to get to the producers, and, like, I can't get through, you know, and they're still in one piece. Yeah, look at them laughing. Yeah, I'm coming for you. Yeah, yeah. No, we'll get there. We'll get you. Don't make me. So, I don't know. God, guys, I'm serious. Oh, my God, you have no idea. It's going to be Halloween, October, the entire month of October. The Gore Girl Variety Hour is going to own the month of October. The month of October is going to kneel down and say my name. That's right, because we are going to own it, guys. It's going to rock. Because why? Because it's fun. It's us. We like to have fun. We respect Halloween. We respect horror. I mean, we respect everything to do. We respect the legends. We respect the roots, the folklore. So that's right. We're coming back. We're going to come back, and we're going to bite you guys, and you're going to like it, and you're going to ask us to do it again because it's going to be awesome. So you're going to get five action-packed shows, guys. I'm not even kidding. We're going to do some different stuff that you guys have never seen us do before, so it's going to get crazy. It's going to get a little nuts, but just brace yourself. So anyway, like I said, man, this is my favorite time of year. This is when Gore Girl gets pumped up. This is when I get jazzed because you know what it is? It's that time of the year where the air starts to change. You can smell fall coming. You know, you can feel it in the air. And, man, what is fall? It's like bonfires and, you know, Halloween is coming. And it's like, it's just like a horror meltdown for me. Seriously, fall has nothing to do with changing into winter and changing seasons. No. To me, fall is strictly Halloween. It's strictly, you know, this is my favorite time of year, as all of you horror fans must be. But, oh, my God, guys, seriously. I mean, you're getting ready. You know, as soon as you smell it in the air, you get excited. You start shopping for Halloween stuff. You know, you want to decorate crap. You want to go seek out, you know, craziness. You know, get nuts. You want to watch horror movies. You want to make horror movies. I mean, Halloween's awesome for that, guys. And that's why I love fall. I mean, man, bonfires with your friends, curling up with some, you know, beer or apple cider or whatever your jazz is. And, man, you just get excited. You get passionate. You talk to people. And this is the best time, guys, the best time to get together with your friends and watch crappy horror movies. I'm not talking about the good ones. Watch the good ones closer to Halloween. That's what it's all about. But now, until about the second or third week of October, is about when you watch the crappy ones. The ones that you're like, oh, my God, that's so bad, but I love it. I don't know why. I freaking love it. So, I don't know. Halloween, fall is my favorite time. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know, you get that nip in the air, man. You feel it. It's a change. You know, you get excited. You know, kids are going back to school. You know, certain things are starting back up. It's just, you know, it's almost like the streets are quiet. It's almost like the leaves falling. It's almost like you can hear a pin drop in the street sometimes. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, man, flashes of Michael Myers flash in my head. I get excited. I'm like, oh, my God, I feel like Jamie Lee. This is awesome. You get excited. You're like, oh, my God, you know, jack-o'-lanterns and horror stories and ghost tales are running through the woods. I mean, maybe it's just me. I mean, running through the woods, getting chased by people. Oh, my God, I love it. So, I don't know. It's a good time. This is a good time, guys. That's all I'm going to say. And, you know, we want to kick you off right, get you started. But I don't know. We're talking about cutting bodies up, putting them in the toilet, whatever. And I have to tell you something that I just found out the other day. And this was funny. Well, not funny for the people that it happened to. But this is interesting knowledge for everybody out there. I don't know if you knew this or not. first of all, what's up? Like I said, speaking of serial killers, what's up with these damn movies that, I don't know, I've seen these out for the last, like, God, what was it, 10 years now. They are doing all these biops, all these pictures, all these movies about serial killers. You have, like, the Boston Strangler, Story Untold. You have, like, you know, the Jeffrey Dahmer one. There's a Bundy one. God, I mean, the list is endless about these movies that are out. You know, of course, there's a Gacy one, and, you know, they're coming out with BTK, and, I mean, all these crazy serial killer movies, and they try to get down to the psychological problems and the roots, and, you know, they show you how it happened and this and that. But here's the problem with these movies, okay? And I have a big problem with these movies. I can't stand them. I've yet to find one that I actually enjoyed because, all right, and I'm not talking about if there's a documentary about a serial killer. That's different. That's a documentary. But these are movies that people have made with, like, characters in them, with actors, you know, people you've seen on TV, things like that. And, I mean, I hate these movies. They're horrible. They're like Lifetime films. Seriously. You don't see any blood. It's just, this guy did this because he's deeply disturbed. So we're going to spend the next 2 hours instead of showing you how he's disturbed, which is really what you want to see. I mean, it's not, we want to see blood and corpses. Well, some of us do, but it's not about that, guys. You could truly figure out how psychotic a person is, how grotesque they are. I mean, how the human mind just is so instinctive and primitive and just primal and just these basic concepts that are just gone. There's no right. There's no wrong. There's only instinct to survive. There's only fun. You know, to them, this is, you know, there's various reasons why they do it. So many serial killers have different reasons, different motives for why they do what they do. And some of them, it's just because it entertains them. They get the rocks off on it. And I mean, that's what you could see. You know, you don't want to see a movie where someone tries to explain why this person is like this. You want to see the movie. You want to see the acts in which they committed, because that will show you the true evil. That will show you what lurks in their psyche. If you show me a watered-down version, I mean, what am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with that watered-down version of that movie? You know, I mean, nothing. We can gather what happened. You can give us their story, give us their backstory, show us how their mom, you know, molested them or whatever their problem was. That's fine. You could put that in the movie. But show us the acts in detail, because that is where, I mean, my favorite hobby is serial killers, as many people, you know, that's their thing, you know. And like I said on the show before, you know, in-depth looks at their psyche, you know, autopsy reports, finding out what makes them tick, what makes a psychopath. Yeah, that's great, but if you see the acts in detail, for me at least, it makes me go, wow, look at what they're capable of. Look at what lines they've crossed. And some people go, oh, they don't need to see all the blood because that's just sick. That's disturbing. You shouldn't show that, you know, don't show that on TV. Excuse me? This is what these people have done. This is what they're capable of doing. Show it. Show me so I can understand that there's a person that's capable of doing this, that this is real, that this goes on in the back of my mind. I have a switch that apparently keeps it hidden, but all of us have this instinct to do exactly what they do. It's just that we have sugar coating and layers and whatever you want, switches and walls and whatever to protect us from this primal instinct that will drive us past the point of madness. So what I'm saying is these movies do not show you. They sugarcoat it like a Lifetime film. If I wanted to see him watering his grass for 3 hours, I'd watch Home and Gardening, for God's sakes. Show me what he did. I will understand why. Give me a little bit of the backstory. I'll get it. But I need to see what he did. Don't give me, and this was his relationship with his wife. Here they are at the grocery store. What? What? I don't care that they're buying Huggies. God! It's a mask. Everybody knows it's the serial killers. That's a mask. Why do I want to see the mask that they portrayed every day in life? You want to see the hidden side that they never showed anybody. So these movies are just, I don't know, I can't stand them. Some of them, there's parts that are really good that you're like, wow, they executed that really well. They did that pretty well. But for the majority, on a whole, as you count the whole movie, no, it's crap. So I had to talk about that. But there is things. There's something I have to say, too. There's probably, you know, most of our fan base is probably serial killers now because we talk so, you know, openly about them.
Yeah.
But seriously, do you notice now? Okay, back in the day, you had all these high-profile serial killers. You had Zodiac. You know, you had Jack the Ripper. You had Bundy. You know, you had Fish. You had all these guys. And they were prolific, and they were horrific because of what they did, because it wasn't heard of at the time. Oh, people didn't act like that. Oh, my God. That was the devil at work, you know, and this and that. Do you notice that nowadays everybody's a serial killer? You turn on freaking, what is it, Court TV, and there's like five people. I hacked up six bodies, and I'm a Girl Scout troop leader. It's like, what? What? It's just, you know, with the whole serial killer thing, there's no style anymore. I hate to put it in that mind frame, but there's no style anymore. There's no notoriety. I mean, people are becoming dumbed down to this knowledge. They're becoming dumbed down to the idea of serial killers. So serial killers, we should take seriously. This is a horrific thing. You know, we should, you know, it should be like back in the day when the whole world was alert and like, oh my God, that's horrible. Nowadays, we're like, oh yeah, it's another serial killer, whatever. We're so dumbed down and bogged down by it. I think what's more horrifying is our desensitivity to it than the actual acts that they commit. And that's horrible, guys. But it's true. It's true. So I got two cases I got to point out to you because this is cracking me up, guys. But, well, not cracking me up. I don't know. Perhaps poor choice of words. we're going to have, like, Serial Killers Anonymous calling us. We don't appreciate talking like this. They took her juice! So anyway, there were these two cases I had to point out, and this was to, you know, accentuate my point of, you know, there's no art in serial killing anymore because every schmuck does it, okay? There was this guy in Florida, and this was interesting. I found this interesting. A lot of people found it creepy. I just thought it was interesting, just the whole way it played out. His wife died. I can't remember the details. his wife passed on. He was very much in love with her, things like that. So instead of interring her in the graveyard, I mean, I think he did and then dug her up. I'm not sure. Got her body back, right? And, like, did things to it, like any part that was rotting away, he exchanged or made plastic or rebuilt it somehow. So she was pretty much like a doll almost, okay? Like, took her eyes out, put plastic eyes in, you know? And just weird things like that. Well, then, like, this is the interesting part. He took a cup, plastic cup or so, and placed it in her nether regions so that he may continue to have intercourse with her. Then all he would have to do is pull the cup out and empty it and put it back in for the next time. Mm-hmm. I understand that you miss your wife and you love her to pieces, literally, and you would do anything for her, you'd do anything to get her back. And, you know, this guy, just in his brain, he wanted her back so bad that he pretended she never died. But just a little tip, not so much. Gigi's not digging that so much because a little interesting, a little weird, and perhaps creepy to some people. But seriously, you got guys like that running around, you know? I mean, technically he didn't kill his wife, no, not that I know of. But it's still the point that he was doing things that some serial killers prefer to do, so I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's standard now. It's running rampant. It's a standard thing. Then there's this chick that I heard about today. And this I thought was interesting. My friend was telling me about this one. They get this show called Snapped or something like that where they show these people that go crazy and kill somebody. Jesus, everybody, I guess. But there's this lady that she said that like her husband abused her or something. So she shot him in the back while he was sleeping and the kids were in bed. Shot him in the back with a shotgun. She claims it was self-defense, right? Oh, he's abusing her, self-defense. Well, isn't it automatically not self-defense because he's sleeping? You know, you didn't shoot him while he was about to hit you or something. So, okay, fine. I'm kind of the mind frame. Well, if you're a jerk, yeah, maybe you had it coming. So, you know, whatever. I wasn't getting down at her too bad. Well, then I found out what she did after that. Apparently, instead of calling the police and reporting the body that's laying in her bed in her bedroom, she simply sealed the room off. They didn't find out till a year later that her husband was dead. She continued to maintain he was alive, signed checks in his name, forged his name, told everybody, family and friends, oh, he's on vacation, or oh, he's on a business trip, or oh, he's sick. Always an excuse why no one saw him ever. What did the kids think? Oh, daddy's on vacation. You know, like the kids don't know. Well, apparently she put a towel under the door to stop the smell and stuff. And like the corpse was all black and things like that and decayed and stuff. And I'm just thinking to myself, what is the point of keeping him in the bed? Where did you sleep for the year? What did you do? How could you eat? I don't know if I could eat in the house because I'd be like, well, that's gross. That's just gross. I don't know if I could do that. But seriously, I mean, couldn't you be creative? Couldn't you cut them up? Maybe make some hamburger patties for the kids to take to school or something? I mean, couldn't you be creative somehow? Why do you have to leave the body there and seal the room up?
I just
thought that was funny.
She didn't get money from him. It's not like she just gets fraud or anything.
This is funny. But then on top of that, she went ahead, I guess she was pregnant with the third kid, went and had the third kid, okay, and then had a boyfriend on the side. And I'm like, what? What? She claims it was self-defense. I was like, well, you were in self-defense for, that was the longest case of self-defense I ever heard of. That was a year of self-defense. I actually think that was the first case where a woman pleaded self-defense against a zombie. She was afraid. See, I see how this went now. I see what she was thinking. She was afraid he was going to wake back up, piece himself together, and come clamoring for her brains. So she sealed the room off in self-defense to protect her, the kids, and the world from a zombie infestation. So perhaps instead of condemning her to 35 years on second-degree murder, we should thank her and give her a key to the city for stopping the zombie infestation.
What, you don't like zombie apocalypse?
But seriously, that was the longest case of self-defense I have ever. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that now. Anytime something happens to me, oh, self-defense.
Yeah.
But you hit that person. It was self-defense.
Self-defense. He looked at me funny.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It looked at me funny. But seriously, I don't get it. So, I don't know. We've ranted on a long-ass time about serial killers. I don't even know. I wasn't even going to talk that long about serial killers. But apparently it was a subject I really felt strongly about. So, I don't know. I don't know. What's going on, guys? Wow, time does fly by on this show.
When you're talking about serial killers.
Wow. I mean, when you're having fun. Crap. I just looked up. We were just on air. Now, all of a sudden, we're halfway through the damn show. God, we do talk about some cool stuff, though, guys. You got to admit. How many shows talk openly about this stuff? How many shows? Without being boring. You know, these shows come across, oh, we can't talk about that. That's taboo. Or, you know, or they don't talk about it. You know, come on. You all know you have a body in your closet or two. Jesus. They all try to pretend, you know. Oprah's probably got 10 or 15 that she stacked away,
yeah,
for God's sake.
I got a couple in my trunk.
I know, right? Your trunk holds 10, right?
Yeah.
So, it's a 12-pack. You have to get a 12-pack in his trunk. No. So, anyway, look at that, guys. We just spent a half hour talking about it. That was awesome. I think that's awesome, guys, that you could talk that long about something as crazy as that. But it was interesting, wasn't it?
It was.
I had a good time talking about that.
I do like serial killers, even the dumb ones. Then we can laugh at them.
I do like talking about that, though. I actually feel very accomplished this evening. Like, we accomplished something. We have reached out to the heart of every serial killer in America.
Yeah.
I demand that we get fan letters. This is what I demand. I will frame your fan letter. But just stay away from us. I don't want to see you. We're busy. We have things to do. But anyway, guys, let's go to commercial.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Listen to Darker Side of the Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
There's just one Schlitz, yeah, yeah, nothing else comes near. When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
God, we are the Gore Girl Variety Hour, and we are constantly bringing you the strange, the macabre. We were just talking about serial killers, good stuff like that. But you know what, guys? We're going to move on because, oh, my God, a half hour went by already. My mind is blown. It seriously is blown. I think we need to move up to, like, 6 hours.
We might need to.
We need to, you know. It's just what we have to do.
Every day.
Right? Every single day. There you go. Apparently, we have plenty to talk about. So,
exactly.
Anyway, guys, I do want to mention, wow, I don't even know if I have time to fit all this in. I guess we're on a crunch now. So,
ready?
And go. I have to say, guys, I was talking about fall, how excited I get, Halloween coming, all sorts of good things. I had mentioned earlier before we got in our serial killer rant about movies that you need to watch from now till about the middle of October. They're just stupid horror films. They're fun, they're dumb, they're campy, they're kitschy, whatever floats your boat out there. You need to watch these because these are movies that you have a good time with your friends with, and that's what it's all about. This is what fall's about. This is what life's about, guys. So, good stuff. So I wanted to give you guys a movie that if you haven't seen, you need to see, and if you have seen and you own it, let's reminisce about it. Play it again, you know? So I wanted to bring it up. Because I think going into Mid-South next weekend, I think we need a little, you know, kickoff. We need a little something to sugar us the rest of the week, something to get us excited for fall, because next week is the first episode of our Halloween extravaganza. So we need a little something to prep us, to grease us, to lube us, if you will, into the fall season and get us started right. So what better way to do it than with a campy horror film that you need to see with your friends? That's right, folks. I'm talking about Slumber Party Massacre. I'm hearing cheers out there. I know I am. They're like, yay, GG. So look at the fans are rejoicing. 1982, my God, this is one of my favorite films. Why? Because it's campy. Because it's nutso. First of all, it's directed by Amy Holden Jones, who, I'm not going to mention some of your other credits, Amy, like the Beethoven films. We're going to let that one go. I'm not going to mention it. Not going to mention it at all. But, guys, she's a great writer. She wrote some good things like Indecent Proposal, Mystic Pizza. Great writer, fabulous. She directed this one, guys. And it was written by Rita Mae Brown. I mean, she is a prolific lesbian American author, guys. She wrote Ruby Fruit Jungle, which was huge. It was her first novel. This woman is very well respected. My God, just like I said, a prolific writer. Very good. She actually wrote this screenplay, and I don't think many people know this. She wrote this screenplay, and it was supposed to be a parody, a hip parody about teen slasher flicks. This is in 1982, guys, so this is way before your scary movie stuff. But it was supposed to be a parody of teen horror flicks, slasher flicks, how chicks always fall, you know, all this. You know, it was supposed to be a parody of this. And when the producers picked up her story, they changed it and decided they were going to shoot it serious. So it's called Slumber Party Massacre. How can you get where do you find serious in there? I mean, none of those three words invoke the spirit of seriousness. Slumber Party Massacre. This is going to be an inspirational film. Hell no, this is going to be a dumbass horror film that we love. So anyway, bad call on the producers. I would like to have seen what it would have looked like if they truly stuck to Rita Mae Brown's vision. I'd really like to see what that film would have been called or what it looked like. I think it was called Sleepless Nights or something. Yeah, like I said, I don't know many people that know that. But, man, it's got Michelle Michaels as Trish, Robin Still as Val, the new neighbor girl next door, Pamela Rollins, who, I don't know, that crazy chick, I don't know. In this movie, she's nuts. She's nuts. And I get a joke about gym teachers, which is funny. I'll have to share with you guys. Freaky Stevens does a freaking cameo in this, guys. All right? This movie is, I mean, what more do I need to say? Slumber Party Massacre. Get it? Got it? Good. Title speaks for itself. Trish is this 18-year-old high school girl. She ends up, her parents leave her alone for the weekend. She ends up deciding to have a slumber party because her friends are kind of going their separate ways or getting ready for college, all this stuff. She decides, let's go back to like eighth grade. Let's have a slumber party, old fashioned, me and the girls. Let's do this. Well, there's a new girl next door, which Trish kind of, you know, she wants to be friends with, but some of her friends don't like her. So they end up having the slumber party. And of course, some of their friends who are guys end up showing up and like, you know, just spying on them through the window, doing a pillow fight in their 90s, the typical thing, you know, they're trying to pull jokes on them and scare the girls, you know, you got the typical stuff, and you got the neighbor who, like, you know, Mr. Constance, who, like, comes and watches them, I mean, you got all these elements, right? Of course, what would a slumber party be without an escaped mental patient? Wouldn't be a slumber party, guys, I know my slumber parties are not the same without that, seriously, this guy escapes, for no reason whatsoever, just like pretty girls, decides to start killing people. And what does he use as an instrument of death? An industrial-sized power drill.
Yay!
Yay to the power drills of the world. So I call this guy Driller Killer. He's a cool guy. He's really dorky. You do not expect him to be a killer in this movie, but it's funny. He wears, like, these, like, suave-looking cowboy shoes. I mean, it's just, it's funny. It's funny, okay? But seriously about this movie, I mean, you got this coming of age. You got, you know, the fumbling sex talk, girls getting together and being silly, boys playing pranks. It's your typical movie like that. But I have to say, anybody that has seen it, or even if you haven't seen it, what's with the opening scene? It's like supposed to be a horror film, and there's, like, she's getting dressed, and it's showing, like, the curve of her back, or, like, how the sunlight is blowing it, you know, showing her hair blowing, and it's all sparkly, and, you know, it's like a dream haze, and there's, like, this coming-of-age music, like, like, Trish is growing up, you know? It's like this coming-of-age music. What? Why do we need to see her coming of age in the first 5 seconds of the movie when the rest of the movie has nothing to do with her? She is only the lead character in this movie, guys, because the slumber party's at her house. Really? None of the characters I really could consider to have the lead role. I mean, I think they all pretty much share it equally. Well, amongst a few of them, I should say. But it's insane. So this guy comes. You know, he ends up killing all these people, kills the telephone lady, you know, kills all the stuff. I mean, it's just, it's insane. And he, like, turns his little drill as he goes after him and looks at him like, hey, you know. I mean, and he's always like, you're so pretty. I'd be like, yeah, that's right. That's right. I am. Now back up. Seriously, it's a nuts old film, guys. You know, the drill is funny. And, of course, there's a poor pizza guy. There's always got to be somebody that's expendable easily. This pizza guy comes, gets eyes drilled out, he ends up falling, so they pull him in. What do? The girls pull him in, scream, they shut the door so the driller killer can't get in, and they eat the pizza. Now that's a slumber party. That's what you're talking about right there. I love this movie. This is such an awesome movie because this is the perfect movie to watch with your friends, guys. I mean, you have a good laugh. You appreciate a cult classic. Why I love it so much is because it keeps you entertained. It's kitschy horror. It's 80s culture. You got the hair. You got the clothes. You got the talk. Like I said, it's fumbling sex talk. It's girls being stupid. I mean, this is your typical 80s fare, you know, and it's entertaining. Every time I've watched it, I had a good time. I mean, this movie breeds great memories. That's what it does, guys. You watch it with your pals. You laugh your ass off. It is the craziest stuff. I mean, it's not an epic. It's not, you know, mind-blowing. It's not the newest thing in horror. It's not, oh, my God, this is the best movie ever made. No, of course not. But it's fun. It is dumb fun. This is a movie you pop on in fall time, my friend, when you're sitting there with a beer going, oh, yes. It's Halloween time. Let's put on a movie. What are we going to put on? Slumber Party Massacre. Because we're going to laugh our asses off at how just kitschy this horror is. How crazy these guys are. I mean, just the stuff that they say, the way that it's set up. I mean, my God. And I mean, for the people that have watched it, all I can say is, what's with the relationship with the coach? I have never, I mean, these girls play, like, basketball or something, and their coach is, like, their best friend. She's a teacher at the school. They, like, show a total different, like, story of hers, and, like, her subplot makes no sense whatsoever. But, like, these kids have this unusual relationship with her. Like, they're calling her up, what'd you think about the game last night? I'm like, I've never called any of my teachers to discuss, hey, so what'd you do last night? Yeah? Yeah, you did that? Oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah, well, I did this, and that. What? I never understood that. I mean, perhaps in that time frame, everybody was attached to their PE teacher. I don't know. I don't know. Could be a thing. I don't know. And I do have a seriously funny joke about PE teachers and the Olympics. Oh, my God. I don't even know if I have time to tell it. Ah, screw it. I'm going to tell it. So my thing is, you watch the Olympics, right? And you watch these high jumpers stuff. Did I tell this one before?
No.
Okay. So you watch the Olympics, right? And they're, you know, you have all these coaches from, like, Russia and, you know, Czechoslovakia, all these, you know, coaches that don't, you know, they all talk in their own language, right? And they're screaming at the girls who are doing, like, track and field and high jump and javelin and, you know, even the girls that do, like, floor exercises, you know, in gymnastics. And they're, you see them on the sidelines and they're always, you know, blah, 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 yeah, 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 do that, yeah, you know, they're telling them what to do. And they're very stern looking and very powerful and very, I am Eastern European, you know? And I started laughing. I'm thinking to myself, these girls wait their whole lives for this one shot. They train, they're born, bred, and raised on this Olympic moment. You know, I mean, because you know how the Olympics are. The older you get, the less likely you are to be in it. So you've got one, maybe two good shots at the Olympics, and that's it. What happens when you don't make it? Like, what happens when you're at the Olympics? You don't place a medal at all. Let's say you're fourth or even like 17th. You know, what happens when you don't get a medal? This is the moment you built up for your whole life. What do you do with the rest of your life? Like, seriously, you've raised your whole life on this. I mean, this is your dream. This is your thing. What do you do that moment that, okay, you're going on the plane empty-handed, that's it. What do you do with your life? So for some reason, this popped in my head. I think I was in Atlanta, Georgia that week when this happened. I'm watching this. I'm thinking to myself, my friend and I are talking, and I said, oh, my God, you know what was funny? I was like, you know, these girls, right, they probably end up being PE teachers. And then I was like, oh, my God, I could see the coach, you know, he's yelling at them, like their final shot. If you do not do this, if you do not place a medal for our country, you must go to the crowd, pick a wife, and get on the plane. So they become lesbian PE teachers. This is what I think happens to the Olympians that don't place a medal. The coach goes, that's it. You are crap in my eyes. Pick a wife from the crowd. Get on the plane and go. I mean, seriously, how funny is that? So every time I see a PE teacher, I freaking laugh. I laugh. I'm like, oh, my God, he must have been a failed Olympian. He must have been. Then I think Disney Channel just came out with a movie called The PE Teacher. I think in the movie, he was an ex-Olympian. I cracked up so hard. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, that's my joke played out in real life. So good times on that. But, yeah, what's up with the coach, the PE teacher? I mean, seriously, guys, I know lots of people are like, oh, I don't know, Slumber Party Massacre is not, it's not one of the best horror films ever made. It's not supposed to be. If you think that, you have a misconception about horror films and what some of their purpose are. What about B-movies? What about driving classics? What about exploitation? What about sexploitation? What are you going to classify those as? Those aren't the greatest movies ever made, but they serve a purpose in the community. And, I mean, seriously, it's not amazing, like I said, but it's fun. It's goofy. It's campy. You know, is this what I want to see? Hell yeah, this is what I want to see. This is what I want to kick off the fall. Come on, guys. Are you with me or what? I mean, I'm going nuts here. I'm about to smash my beer bottle against something. This is crazy. But I have to tell you the best part of the movie. Oh, my God. The best part of the movie is I'm cracking up now. I can visualize it in my head. But at the end, every time the killer closes in on somebody, the lead girl, Trish, comes running out of nowhere. You don't even know where she is half the movie. Comes running out of, like, a hole in the wall. Comes running after him. And she's, like, screaming. She's clutching a knife. She's, like, got this deranged look on her face. And she, like, stabs him, screams, and runs off real fast. And you're like, oh, my God, where did she come from? And where did she – she does it like six times at the end of the movie. Like randomly, you're sitting there going, oh, my God, this girl's getting stabbed. Out of nowhere, she comes off the hangar. Ah! Stabs him and runs away. And you're like, oh, okay. Then like 5 seconds later, oh, my God, he's going to stab this girl. Trish comes running out of nowhere. I mean, it's hysterical. Look on her face. I mean, that is my favorite part of the movie. It's just her randomly running out of places. And she's like, ah! And she like hacks at him. I mean, what? It's nuts, and I love it. It's good times. Seriously. But actually, it's great times. Great times. But, I mean, it just keeps happening. And it happens in slow-mo. You get this crazy music. It's like, ah, and then she's like, it's slow-mo. Ah! I'm like, okay. That's my favorite part of the movie. I crack up so hard when I see that. It's funny times, guys. But seriously, you know, certain movies, I don't know what it is, they invoke feelings in us, like Prom Night, Return of the Living Dead. I'm serious. I nicknamed it something, guys. I'm calling it, it's the fuzzy 80s tummy. That's what I'm calling it. Isn't it funny? We just had this conversation about serial killers, and now I'm like, you got a little of the fuzzy 80s tummy? But seriously, I'm calling it the fuzzy 80s tummy because we love 80s hair bands, slasher flicks. I mean, the 80s were crazy fun. I love everything 80s because they didn't care. They had weird hairstyles and crazy clothes, but you know why? It was art. They said, I'm going to be different. I'm going to do what I want to do. And they didn't give a crap what people think of them. What did we go into after that? Went to the 90s where everybody's like, oh, I can't do that. You'll think I'm weird. You're suffocating your art and your personality because of what your neighbor thinks? They didn't do that in the 80s. They were like, that's why I respect them. Everybody gives the 80s crap. I don't like the 80s. They were crazy. They wore weird stuff. Dude, they were experimenting. They were being nuts. They're like, dude, maybe I should try this and shave half my head off. You know, I mean, they were just nuts. They didn't give a crap. It was art, man. And that's what I love about the 80s is, you know, they had balls. You go to the 90s, they didn't have balls. They're like, I don't want my friends to think I'm weird. I want to be popular. Oh, for the love of God, you're going to copy off of somebody? Seriously? So I don't know. That's just what I'm saying. I don't know about that. But definitely got to see some Party Massacre. Of course, the sequels were definitely nowhere near the same ballpark. They're goofy, yes. Some people love them, especially Summer Party Massacre 2. But they don't have the spark of the original, guys. They're not worth it. There's 3 and 4, which are completely unmentionable because, who cares? We got the first one. The second one actually is like sort of like a musical, and the killer has a guitar that has a drill in it, and he sings songs and runs around dancing and stabbing people. It's funny. I mean, it's campy. It's goofy. I recommend watching it just because it's weird and it's nuts, and you're like, oh, it's just kind of crazy. And it's got Crystal Bernard from Wings in it. But seriously, no. Watch the first one, man. That's some good stuff. That is good fodder. You'll get your equal amount of some tense moments. And like I said, this is not an exceptionally well-made film. I'm not saying that this is classic, but if you're the type of person that's going to dissect it and say, oh, this is the worst film ever made, you obviously have not seen horror movies. I could give you a list of 1,000 movies that are far worse than this one. So count your lucky stars that you don't have to go further than this one. But my God, guys, we're just going on and on about that. That was good stuff, though. That was good stuff. God damn, the show's going by real fast. Is that on the list?
Is what on the list?
I just said, God damn, is that on the list of things you can't say on radio?
No, that's okay.
All right. My producers are like, we're done. We're done with you. We try to curb it, guys. We try to curb it as best we can, especially since we're going to be FCC regulated soon. So we try to curb it. Seriously, I got to say, we've got like 13 minutes. Oh, my God, the show has gone by so fast. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a good time. I don't know if you guys are having a good time. I'm having a good time. Are you having a good time, Techie Ed?
I am, but I'm out of beer.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's happening around here? Isn't that your contract? You're supposed to have beer?
Yeah, apparently the producers are dropping the ball again.
I think you're supposed to have beer all the time.
I am.
I don't know what's going on. This is crazy.
That's definitely my
Where
contract.
Where are my producers at? Yeah, I'm looking at you. Yeah, yeah. So anyway.
Don't make me strike.
Yeah, we strike. We'll put your heads on stake. We swear to God we will. So can you make it 13 minutes?
I'll try.
Oh, my God. This
I'm
a travesty. This is a travesty. Techie Ed without beer. It's a travesty. How is anything going to get done? This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. Anyway, we're going to Mid-South next week, guys. And I'm going to try to cram this in 12 minutes because I have somebody very special I want to pull on real fast for a couple minutes. We're going to Mid-South. It's Louisville, Kentucky. It is a huge paranormal convention. A lot of really crazy, cool cats are going to be there. Heath Age and Louisville Ghost Hunters are hosting it. I love those guys. I love everybody that's going to be there. Some good guests. Excuse me. I just, yeah. I almost just threw up all over the mic. No, I'm kidding. I don't know where that came from. No, seriously, we love those guys. We love all the guests are going to be there. They got an awesome lineup, guys. You need to go. You seriously need to go if you can make it. Like I said, Keith Age, Louisville guys host this. It's a great time. You got some great people. As far as radio entertainment, Ghostly Talk's going to be there. I think Darkness Radio is going to be there. I would say Darkest Side of the Moon, but I love those girls. But I know they can't come. Ghostman Demon Hunter will be there, which I will be representing Ghostman Demon Hunter and the Gorgo Variety Hour. So pulling double duty next weekend. But definitely, definitely, definitely you need to come. It's going to be an awesome time. And, of course, Louisville, 10 minutes to go. I almost made it a whole show without screwing up a word. Wow. Wow. Anyway. So, Louisville, Kentucky, of course, everyone's asking me what kind of ghost stories are going down there, Gore Girl. What can I do, you know, when the convention's out to go ghost hunting? Of course, Waverly Hill Sanatorium's there. We did a whole thing about that 2 weeks ago. But there's other ghost stories, like around Louisville. And then I was looking into the state of Kentucky itself. And Troy Taylor actually did a couple really cool stories about Louisville ghost hunting or Kentucky in general, some of the ghost stories and tales. But I found a couple that I thought were kind of messed up. So I just wanted to mention them, okay? I'm going to save the weirdest one for last because that's my favorite one. Of course, there's these crazy stories. You got the hitchhiking ghost stories, which are kind of like our Resurrection Mary in Chicago. Girl gets in a car, disappears, that kind of stuff. There's, you know, something about a ghost light. There's a black cat supposedly that haunts a cemetery and will watch you. And so many people say they've seen him. He'll watch you in the cemetery. And if you turn your head, he'll appear somewhere else in the cemetery. They say he's larger than any kind of black cat ever. And as soon as you leave the cemetery, he disappears. But every time you go there, supposedly he's perched up on the highest mausoleum or whatever. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Of course, like I said, the hitchhiking ones, but we don't need to get into that. I have to talk about this one. This is nuts. This is nuts. And this one kind of gave me a little chill because this is cool. So I'm going to mention this one real fast, and then I got something cool for you guys. 1938, there's stories of this killer ghost in eastern Kentucky. Supposedly, this guy named Carl Pruitt came home from work, and he found his wife in bed with another man. The man ended up jumping out of the window and saving himself, like running away. And in a rage, Carl ended up strangling his wife with a little chain, like a small piece of chain. They say that perhaps he realized, you know, he killed the love of his life or he reacted hastily, but then he committed suicide. So he was buried in the local cemetery. Well, a few weeks after he's buried, they noticed that supposedly his chain pattern was forming on his gravestone, and it kept forming a new link until it formed a cross. Once it formed the cross, it stopped growing. So people were kind of freaked out about that. The officials kind of were laughing at the local townspeople who were scared. Well, a month or so after this happened, a couple of kids were riding on their bikes, and one of the kids yelled at the grave, you know, and was like, oh, I don't believe in ghosts and blah, blah. And he ended up, I forgot if he threw stones or what the story was. Troy Taylor actually did this story in his book. So if you want to check that out, check out prairieghost.com. Pick up some of Troy's books. He's got some great stuff. Anyway, the boy threw the stones at Pruitt's grave and cursed the gravestone. And apparently, like right after that, his bike suddenly picked up speed. All of a sudden, he crashed off into a tree, and a sprocket chain tore loose and managed to wrap itself around his neck. Odd. Well, the mother of the boy was so heartbroken, then she went to the cemetery and started destroying the gravestone with an axe. Well, the following day she was doing laundry, and the line that she hangs her clothes on, supposedly somehow she fell, and the line wrapped itself around her neck. And then when they went to look at the grave, it was completely intact. It was not hacked to pieces at all. Then there was a local farmer and some of his family were on like a horse and buggy thing, and they were going by the cemetery, and the man, like, for some reason, because I do this all the time, picks up a revolver and starts shouting at the graveyard, because of course the story had spread through Kentucky, and he goes, I don't believe in ghosts and blah, blah, and he shot at the gravestone, like chipped off a few of the chunks. All of a sudden the horses went wild and started like galloping faster and faster and faster, just out of control. And the family members jumped out, but the guy thought he could try to corral them. Well, as he's pulling on the reins, he pitched forward and ended up tying himself up in the rope around his neck, and it snapped his neck. So after this had happened, they went to the grave marker. Congress was there. All this stuff happened. They took pictures of the stone. Nothing was there. Then one of the officers that was there was like, oh, I don't believe in ghosts. This is a bunch of hooey, blah, blah, blah. Started cursing, all this stuff. He gets in his car with his partner, and they're driving away, and he sees a light in his rearview mirror. It gets closer and closer and closer. And supposedly, the car swerved off the road, flipped over, the passenger flew out, was unharmed, and the guy ended up getting like two posts. They had a wire in between the two posts down by a fence, ended up slicing through the car and severing his head. So supposedly, all this stuff about this guy's grave and his death, and he was called the killer ghost for a while. The residents avoided the cemetery. People actually got their family members exhumed and brought them to another cemetery. People actually moved out of the area. Anyway, so it was insane. But what was I going to say? Anyway, so then, like, right before they actually, the big stuff happened, this guy went there and decided to chisel it and try to take chunks off. All they heard was him screaming, and they ran out there, and he was actually strangled by the gate there's a fence that linked the entrance gate, ended up being caught strangled in there. They say that whatever frightened him, he ran towards the gate and forgot that the chain was there and strangled himself. Yeah, because that happens all the time. So anyway, like I said, people moved, whatever. Nobody was there to care for his grave or whatever. So they ended up, you know, it was overgrown with weeds, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, in 1958, the whole area was destroyed. So the graves aren't there. And the five deaths that were linked to the grave were never solved or, you know, never explained or anything like that. So I don't know. Just a little thing that happened a little bit, you know, that happened in Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky. I'm not sure how far from Louisville, but good times. Anyway, I got a special guest I want to bring on real quick. While we got time, and our special guest is, since we're going to Mid-South this week, I was figuring we're going to bring her on more in the future, but we actually went to the Carpathia Mountains and kidnapped our very own Russian gypsy, and she's a Russian gypsy psychic, guys. So let's bring her on. Let's bring on Svetlana. Hello, Svetlana.
Hello, Gorgor.
Svetlana, hey, it's good to hear from you again.
How are you?
I am fabulous. Hey, we wanted to know, we're going to Mid-South this weekend. We wanted to get a prediction from you. What's going to happen? Is it going to be a good time? What's going to happen to Gore Girl and Techie Ed as we go to Mid-South this weekend in Louisville, Kentucky?
Let's see. I see you taking road trip in white car. I see beer. I see beer bottles, lots of beer bottles. I see that you will see people, lots of people that you know. stay away from bicycle chain. I keep seeing bicycle chain. Do not go by bicycle chain. Stay away. You may be a decapitated head. We do not want that.
So I'd have to do the show with a decapitated head?
Yes. We would have to build up your chair. That have phone books to sit your head on. Nothing. Techie Yad would have to carry you around by your hair. Would not be pretty.
I could do that, not a problem.
Well, is a lot of exciting things going to happen? Like, you know, is something spectacular going to happen? Or are we going to, like, I don't know, like, are we going to win $1 million? Or what's going to happen?
I see you talking to lots of people, Gorgor. Lots of people. $1 million, though. No.
No million.
I'm not that.
Talking to people.
No.
Because I don't
people,
do that.
You know.
That's incredibly psychic. Because, you know, it's unheard of for Gore Girl to talk. See, Svetlana, you amaze me. You continuously amaze me.
You know, you are quite wallflower, Gore Girl. So it will be shocking for you to talk to people. We will all be surprised.
Thank you, Svetlana. Thank you for your prediction. Are we going to have a good time, though?
Oh, of course, Gore Girl. You bring the party with you wherever you go.
Oh, thanks, Svetlana. And next time, I promise we'll take those handcuffs off you and we'll give you fresh water. We forgot.
We'd appreciate that. Can you give me some water before you leave for the trip, though?
We'll try. I mean, we can't make any promises. You know, we're busy. We're busy people.
Oh,
but
right.
Thank you. Thank you, Svetlana. And, I mean, we're going to be bringing Svetlana on more often, guys, because she is agreed to be, through force, agreed to be the official psychic for the Gore Girl Variety Hour. So we now have Svetlana, the Russian psychic gypsy from the Carpathian Mountains. Thank you so much, Svetlana, for that prediction. We're going to have a good time Mid-South. It looks like clear skies, clear sailing. We had a great show tonight. I had fun. I mean, and we're getting ready for Mid-South, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's next week. It's this week. It's this coming weekend. I'm freaking out because it seemed like so far away, and now we're a week away. So I'm counting down, guys. I hope you can be there. Be sure to check out next week's show because it's the start of our Halloween extravaganza. We'll be coming to you live from Louisville, Kentucky, both Techie Yet and myself. We will be at the Mid-South Convention, and we will have on Circus Envy, the horror clown himself. He's going to be live with us. It's going to be insanity. It's the first ever Halloween extravaganza show. Oh, my God. You're going to freak out when you hear it, guys. But thank you so much for joining us tonight. We had a good talk about serial killers. I gave you a nice movie to watch and curl up with, you know, and get ready for Mid-South and the craziness of Halloween. And you know, we have Svetlana coming on. I told you a nice ghost story in case you are coming to Louisville and you want to go check that out. Perhaps do some EVPs on the site. I don't know. Do some ghost hunting. But that was a creepy story that I thought was cool. So, guys, till next weekend, do not miss the Gorgo Variety Hour because it's going to be just kicking. It's going to be rocking. There's going to be decapitated heads. So this is us signing out. Whenever there's villainous news, we'll be there.
Same old place.